Exodus chapter 11 and 12, the Passover. Today is the day of remembrance, the 11th of November, the day when we remember that others gave their lives so that we can live. The British Legion have asked us to meditate on the death of Jesus for the Poppy Appeal this year, with the words, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend." And today we remember how others died so that we could enjoy life and freedom and security. Death for life. It is a transaction that we need to think about at least on this day every year. Death for life. The part of Exodus that we're studying today in the great providence of the living God is about this very subject, death for life. The giving of a life so that others may live. In Exodus 11 and 12, if you have it open in front of you, it will be helpful. In Exodus 11 and 12, the nation of Israel, the ancient church of God, was still under the brutal and godless tyranny of Pharaoh and his empire. The Lord God of Israel, the angel of the Lord, who had commissioned Moses at the burning bush on Mount Horeb, he had commanded Pharaoh to let my people go, the great refrain of these chapters. But Pharaoh had refused. With each refusal, Pharaoh had become ever harder, ever blinder to reality. Each time the word of the Lord came to Pharaoh through Moses, Pharaoh hardened his heart and turned his back on Christ the Lord. This hardening of heart was answered by the Lord hardening Pharaoh's heart, the most fearful of all judgments. Each refusal had brought a terrible plague on Egypt, and now the road to judgment had reached its destination. There was no more time, no more patience for Pharaoh. The living Lord is slow to anger, but not infinitely so. For Pharaoh, just as for each one of us, judgment day arrives. Let's remind ourselves how Exodus chapter 10 ended, how we've arrived at this place of disaster and judgment. Exodus chapter 10, verse 28, Pharaoh said to Moses, "Get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die." And Moses responded with the ominous words, Exodus 10, verse 29, "Just as you say, I will never appear before you again." And chapter 11 seems to be an encounter that Moses has with the Lord while he is still with Pharaoh. Right in the room with Pharaoh, he receives this word from the Lord that the final judgment is there. Pharaoh's utter contempt for the word of the Lord and his refusal to see Moses ever again brings everything to this conclusion. Judgment day arrives as the Lord pronounces his final plague upon Egypt. As the plagues have gone on, if we've noticed as they've unfolded in these chapters, as they've gone on, so lives were more and more under threat as it went on. Initially, no lives were lost, but then lives were lost. For the animals were all mostly dead. The crops were all destroyed by this stage in chapter 11, and the hail had killed people. Was there any future at all for this ancient empire? I mean, as we've explored these plagues in recent weeks, it is as if we were on a train racing full pelt out of control towards disaster over a cliff. Pharaoh drives his people full speed into disaster. We're urging him to slam on the brake, to turn back, but he just rushes on. And each chapter, it's faster and faster towards destruction. Pharaoh wanted life on his own terms, and he simply refused to bow before Christ the Lord. Each time Moses' warning is rejected, Pharaoh's ancient empire races on to terrible judgment. I mean, back in chapter 9, the Lord had warned that he could already have destroyed the whole empire with all its people. Is that fate the only possible outcome? When we read the end of chapter 10, we think, yes, it is the end. All of the nation must die. Now, there can be no escape. Will the unbelief and pride of Pharaoh and his people lead to total destruction? How could there be any survivors when this ancient empire stands in the way of the living God? When the living Lord visited Egypt in angry judgment, how could anybody survive, particularly with this provocation? Well, Moses, if you notice in chapter 11, verse 8, was hot with anger as he announced this final plague and turned away from Pharaoh. Why was he like that? Why was he hot with anger? Because Moses was in full harmony with the Lord, who could no longer endure Pharaoh's arrogance and unbelief. No more warnings. Now Christ himself, the avenging Lord, comes to Egypt to mete out judgment. This time, this plague, it was to be more personal, more terrible than anything before. Chapter 11, verse 4. This is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. From the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the slave girl who is at her handmill. Egypt had been a nation divided between the rulers and the ruled, the slave and the free. But on that day, the day of judgment, everybody was the same. All fell under the judgment of God when he came to visit Egypt. Just as in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16, the world must face the wrath of Christ the Lamb on judgment day, on the final judgment day. So in this prophetic judgment day in Exodus, it is Christ the Lord himself who comes to deliver judgment. Moses is not told to stretch out his hand to bring a plague as with the other ones. No, Moses must run for cover. Run for cover, just as all those who feared the Lord, the word of the Lord had to do. Run for cover as the angel of the Lord passed through Egypt himself in terrible judgment. Well, surely that must mark the end of every single person in Pharaoh's empire. Who could survive that? And yet, even this final plague doesn't bring total destruction. The firstborn of every household would die. Not everybody, the firstborn of every household would die. The judgment of Almighty God would fall upon Egypt. The firstborn would die, but the rest would be left alive. Those firstborn would have to bear the judgment of God alone on behalf of the whole nation. That is, of course, the point of the whole story. Way back in Exodus chapter 4, the angel of the Lord had known it would end this way. In chapter 4, when Moses is being commissioned, this is what is said to him, Exodus chapter 4, 21 to 23. The Lord said to Moses, "When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all these wonders I've given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go, Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go so he may worship me, but you refused to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son. Perhaps those were the very first words Pharaoh heard from Moses, that that's where it was heading. And it's ended up right there. From the beginning, the Lord knew that Pharaoh would never relent until the death of the firstborn. The angel of the Lord in chapter 4 of Exodus describes Israel as his own firstborn son, but it is he himself, the angel of the Lord. It is he himself who is the firstborn son of the Father. Israel, the church, is God's firstborn by adoption, but the angel of the Lord, God the Son, the eternal Christ, is God's firstborn son eternally and by nature. When the angel of the Lord said that it must be the firstborn who bear the anger of God's judgment, he was not speaking dispassionately at a distance. In saying this, he speaks his own death sentence. When we study the story of the Passover, we are studying perhaps the most important story in the whole of the Old Testament. Jesus of Nazareth was crucified at the Feast of Passover. The meaning of the death of Jesus is given by these events in Exodus 11 to 13. The New Testament has no explanation for the death of Jesus the Christ other than to refer us back to what happened in these chapters of Exodus. When these events happened between Moses and Pharaoh long ago, it was the death of Jesus of Nazareth that was in mind all along. When the angel of the Lord came in divine anger with fatal judgment against Egypt's firstborn, he knew that he would one day be the victim of that same divine anger as the firstborn who would bear the judgment of the whole world. There was nothing easy or dispassionate about that night of judgment and wrath for the angel of the Lord. All these events in Exodus 11 to 13 are great symbolic prophecies of the future, of the realities that face us today, here, this morning. When we read these events in Exodus, we're not merely reading about the past, we're reading about our own futures. The judgment and salvation that await us on the final day of judgment, when the Lord visits us in his judgment. See how Exodus 12 begins. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. The whole calendar had to be organized starting with this time, the Feast of Passover. It was to be the day of remembrance. Their annual day of remembrance would be this. And then in chapter 12, verses 24 to 25, we see it was an annual festival, and it was crucial that it was explained to the children the significance of these events, that each generation remembered and learned the lesson. So what did they have to do? What was the heart of this Passover? Well, let's read it. It's in verse 7 particularly. We can see it there. They were to take a lamb and kill the lamb. And then, chapter 12, verse 7, then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. Each household was to kill a lamb and place its blood on the door frame of the house. It's a messy thing, isn't it? To kill this lamb. We think that's awful. But that's the nature of our predicament. That's the nature of the predicament, the judgment of God. It is a messy, a bloody affair. Each household was to kill a lamb and place its blood on the door frame of the house. Why? How could this blood help the household on the night of judgment? It's explained, Exodus 12 from verse 12. The Lord says, "On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." It was the festival of Passover because the Lord would pass over any house marked with the blood of a freshly killed lamb. Only a death could avert death. If we're to grasp the significance of this, why this is speaking about our futures, of each one of us here, if we're to grasp why that is, we must realize the seriousness of the judgment of the Lord, what it means when the Lord comes to visit in judgment, as he will do. Most of us are familiar with some words from the prophet Malachi because of Handel's Messiah. Particularly at this time of the year, most of us will go and hear Handel's Messiah. Do you remember some of the words? "The messenger of the covenant will come, says the Lord Almighty, but who can endure, who can abide the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? Who can stand, who can abide, who can survive the day of the Lord's visitation?" Malachi asks us. And at the end of the book of Malachi, the great prophet warns us, surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. When the Lord speaks of arrogant evildoers there, he's speaking about us. He's not speaking about other people. He's speaking about us, all of us, each one of us. He's speaking about us, the arrogant evildoers who will be consumed on that day. The Lord repeatedly tells us in the Bible that when he examines the human race, he cannot find a single person who is acceptable to him. Not one. He can never find anybody who can endure the day of his coming. I'll give one example. Psalm 14, verses 2 to 3. There are many examples when the Lord gives this verdict, but here's one example. Psalm 14, verses 2 to 3. "The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good. Not even one." That's the Lord's verdict as he looks upon us. That is why Malachi and all the other prophets and apostles in Scripture take the coming day of judgment, the day when the Lord visits us, so seriously. History does not end up with some cosmic burnout in the far distant future. It ends with the day of judgment, when the anger of God against human wickedness is revealed in the return of Jesus Christ the Lord. There is no place to hide on that day. No one can opt out of that day, and there is nowhere to hide. Revelation chapter 6, from verses 15 to 17, is one of the most ominous presentations of that coming day, when people will try to hide on that day. Of course they will. Everybody will want to hide on that day who is not ready for that day. People will try to hide. Revelation 6, verses 15 to 17. This is what it says. "Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They call to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? That will be the cry of the world. Hide us. Who can stand on this day? Who can stand? Imagine the great and the mighty alongside the poor and the ordinary, all trying desperately to find some hiding place when the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, comes in great wrath. The events of Exodus chapters 11 to 13 happened so that we would all be ready for that day. That's why these things happened. That's why they're recorded for us. So that we'd all be ready for that day. There will be a place of safety on that day. But it won't be in any caves or nuclear bunkers. The only safety on that day will be the blood of the Lamb from whom the world hides in terror. This is what Exodus 12 is all about. Let's just read from Exodus 12, verse 21, and we can see that clearly. Exodus 12, from verse 21. Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, Exodus 12, 21, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Not one of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. What sobering words. The angel of the Lord could provide no safety for even the Israelites if they did not shelter under the Lamb's shed blood. There was no safety for anybody other than the Lamb's shed blood. In Exodus 12, it was the blood of the slaughtered lamb that caused the angel of the Lord to pass over the household. So it will be the blood of the Lamb of God, slaughtered on the cross 2,000 years ago, that will cause the judgment of God to pass over us on the day of his wrath. When he sees that blood, he will pass over us. The whole purpose of the birth and life of Jesus of Nazareth was that he die as the Lamb of God, die as a sacrifice bearing the judgment of God against us. When John the Baptist saw him, he cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." A Christian, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? There's so many ideas around in the media. It's someone who's into charity. It's someone who goes to church. What is a Christian? This is what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who seeks safety in nothing other than the shed blood of that Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ. That is a Christian. A Christian is a person who seeks safety in life and death and for eternity in nothing other than the shed blood of that Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ. Exodus 11, verse 3, tells us that Moses was well known across Egypt. People paid attention to Moses. His words and actions throughout these events that have been happening, his words and actions must have been the number one topic of conversation each day across Egypt. Can we imagine a household in Egypt on that night? I often used to imagine that when I was a boy. I often read this story when I was a boy and imagine it. An Egyptian house on that night. The firstborn son would go to his father. Have we killed the lamb and put its blood on the door frame? And perhaps the father replied, no, we'll do it later. I'm busy, I'm reading the paper, I'm having my tea. I've got other things to do. We'll do it later. Anyway, I'm not sure I believe Moses' warning. But Dad, everything else that Moses has ever said has happened just as he warned. We must apply the lamb's blood. We must fear the word of the Lord. We must protect our house from the Lord's visitation. Please, let's eat the lamb and apply the blood right away. Let's do it now. Can you imagine that scene? We know the outcome of that night. We know how seriously to take Moses' words. Knowing the outcome of that night, there is no one here today who would ignore Moses' warning if we'd been there. We'd have killed the lamb and applied its blood in the afternoon. We wouldn't even have waited till the night. But if that is the case, what about the warning that Malachi gave us, and we've read it, and that all the prophets give us, and the apostles give us, and Jesus Christ himself gives us? What about that warning that Jesus has given us about the great and terrible day of the Lord? Has the blood of the Lamb been applied? He died so that his blood could be applied to each one of us, so that on that day the judgment of God would pass over us, so that we'd be accepted into the friendship and family of God. Notice chapter 11, verse 6 and 7. For those who sheltered under the Lamb's blood, that terrible night of judgment will be a peaceful night, so peaceful that not even a dog would bark. For the rest, chapter 11, verse 6, who face the wrath of God in their own strength, it would be a night of unique grief and anguish. That day, that night, was only a small example of the coming day, the day of God. That final day of judgment, though, need hold no fear for us at all. Just as death need hold no fear for any of us at all. If the blood of the Lamb of God has been applied to us, then we can face our Maker with calm and great joy. His anger against our sin will pass over us. The Lamb of God has suffered the judgment of God already on our behalf. There is no need for anyone to face that judgment. There is no need for anyone here this morning to face death or the future with any fear. The Apostle Paul cries out in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. By trusting in him, his blood is applied to us, saving us from the coming day of judgment. This morning, perhaps for the very first time, we can lay hold of the Lamb of God and find our safety now and forever in him. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, all the majesty, and all the power, now and forever. Amen.